Holy God, we ask that you send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts and our minds and our imaginations with your love and what is possible. Amen. I'm really loud, aren't I? Is it all right? All right. Even I don't want to hear that much of myself. One of the best lines in Christian scripture. Those who only eat vegetables are the weak. Told you. It's a really interesting thing that's going on in the letter to the Romans today. So Paul has found himself in Rome, okay? For those of you who don't have a complete grasp of early Christian history, let me give you a 30-second tour. We think of Christianity as being a product of Palestine, coming out of Israel, Jerusalem. Well, it wasn't Israel at the time, but parts of it were. But out of Palestine. That's really not true. What was going on back at home for Jesus was that after his death and resurrection, there is a group that's slowly gathering, but they still see themselves as Hebrew. They still see themselves as Jewish. And they're just Jews who have the rest of the story. They're Messianic Jews. So church would look something like they would go to synagogue and then do like the Jesus coffee hour. Okay? Christianity as we know it begins to be practiced predominantly in Rome, in the Roman Empire, and specifically in Rome itself. You've heard the stories of the early Christians down in the catacombs, you know, baptizing and participating in the Eucharist, all very hush-hush because, you know, as a Roman citizen, you would have acknowledged Caesar as God, and if you were now acknowledging Jesus as God, you end up being lion food. So that's why it was all in secret. And so Paul comes now to Rome at a time that things are getting a little bit easier on the early Christians, but not a lot. And he does a couple of things. And one of the things that he does, or one of the things that he experiences, he is absolutely amazed by the mosaic of the kind of the aliveness of faith practices within the Roman Empire. In fact, in the letter to the Romans, he even says, you're such good and faithful people, speaking to the Romans, that you even have temples to unknown gods. In other words, hedging their bets. You know, they figure, you know, we've got one to every god that we know of. Let's throw a few more up just in case we've missed somebody. And so there is this pluralism within Rome and the understanding of the spirit world that is kind of exciting and very, very new for Paul. Because if you remember Paul pre his conversion, he was a zealot. He was a my way or the highway. Actually, that's a cute little Paul joke. The highway, get it? No, okay, never mind. Road to Damascus, never mind. I'm too deep a thinker for you all. And so, you know, he's stuck in this very rigid sense of how one worships God. And through the experience of Jesus, he begins to kind of appreciate this tapestry that the Romans have laid out before themselves as far as the divinity and the spirit world is considered. The problem is the early Christians are still under siege. And what happens when people feel like they're under siege? They start creating walls. You know, that's what they do. And fear creates boundaries, creates walls. And so they're starting to have this infighting about what is the proper way to do what. And a lot of it is around food. You know, can you eat? What can't you eat? Can you celebrate God through a feast or must it be done through a fast? And Paul basically says to them, you really need to get over yourselves. That is not the point whatsoever. In fact, look at the Romans around you and how they live in some form of peace, although we know Pax Romanos was a different kind of peace than what we would imagine. But with all this pluralism. And so what Paul tells them is you need to focus on what you're doing. You need to be the most faithful and best person you can be and share that with the wider world. okay, that God's love is universal. It's so interesting because Paul is used as kind of the poster boy for fundamentalism in many ways, and yet he had this very universal sense of God's love. And so he's encouraging the community to be a place of, a place of love and forgiveness, and to lift itself up through that, which is really cool if you think about it. I mean, think about if the church, not St. James's, not the Episcopal Church, but the church, those of us who profess Jesus as the living God, or for that matter, all of religion, saw themselves as a part of a beautiful mosaic instead of the one, only, and absolute important. And if you don't believe what I don't believe, and you do, you're right and you're wrong. We've done this for millennia, and it has gotten us near nowhere. And it's the story the world tells too, isn't it? That there's right and there's wrong in the way that we practice our faith. And then what we say is, okay, if you're wrong, I should probably kill you. It's for your own good. If you laugh, look at history. And the sad thing is that we still, many of us, many people who consider themselves people of faith, believe that. Yet Jesus said that God's forgiveness is for everyone, not just the ones who believed the way that he thought they were supposed to. So today we're having a baptism. We've got these three adorable little children, and we are offering them a gift. We as a community have gathered together to offer them a gift. And the gift that we are offering them today is this knowledge of this sense of God's love and forgiveness. And it's not only a gift that we give to our children. Can I borrow your kid for a sec? Come here, Lauren. Okay. I mean, God's love. Okay, duh, that's easy, right? Now, if I could pick up Andrew, we'd say, maybe not so much. But that's who we're called to be. We're called to not only be people who offer up forgiveness, but people who offer up forgiveness, but to the harder point, people who are opened up to being forgiven. Because my experience, and I suspect it's most of our experiences, it's easy enough to forgive other people. Some slights are harder than others to get around. But if nothing else, we can always say, well, they didn't know any better. That's where we get into being all judgmental, because that helps. But when it comes to forgiving ourselves, it's much, much harder. But yet, that is the gift that the church offers you, is the knowledge that God forgives you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I spend a fair amount of time, you know, with the thought in mind, you know, that's not what I meant. Or it comes out of my mouth, and I'm like, not what I meant to say. And then wrestling with that, you know, being up at night going, oh, you know, I can't believe I did that. Or doing something that I wish I hadn't. And in most cases, when we do things like that, everybody else gets over it long before you do. Right? I mean, everybody's got something in the back of their head, regardless of how old they are, that they did way back when that they're still feeling bad about. Now, it probably doesn't help that your mother reminds you, even if she's no longer with us. But forgiveness is universal, just like God's love. So today we celebrate this gift that we are offering these children, this knowledge. We're not offering them God's love and God's forgiveness. That is theirs. What we're offering them is the knowledge of that. And my hope is that we can receive that gift as well, that we can accept that gift and stop all this ridiculous infighting that church and people of faith and whatever have done so long. I'll end on a quick joke. So this guy's out sailing, and he gets blown out from the outskirts of a hurricane. He gets blown out and marooned on a deserted island. It's not in any shipping lane, and he's there for a number of years all by himself. And due to a very large storm, a cruise ship is sent in this new route. And he lights the fire that he's had prepared for all these years, and the cruise ship sees it, and they send a young officer out in a little rescue boat, and they send him out, and he gets there, and the guy's like, yay, and so he gets in the boat, and the guy's like, well, where's everybody else? He goes, well, what do you mean, where's everybody else? He goes, well, you have three huts. He goes, yeah, that's my house, that's my church, and that's the church I used to go to. Can we stop being that guy? Because think about it. If we can actually believe in the depths of our hearts or just fake it so well that eventually we make it, think about the story we can tell the world instead of the story the world is telling us. Amen.